Today's interview is with Lisa Orkin from Honestly Lisa. Now, this is a really big conversation, and it is really very open and honest and raw. Lisa has found herself at 54, having been a stand-up comic and having had a certain level of success in Hollywood, broke and wondering how she's going to pay her rent. And she's on this path of trying to figure out what the fuck she's here for. But she's right in it. Like, she's in the thick of it. And that is why I wanted to have this conversation, because so often we hear the story after. So we, you know, they have the breakdown, they have the breakthrough, and then they're passing the lessons on to us. But sometimes I feel like it's more important for us to have these conversations in the moment, in the pain, in the darkness, because we all experience these moments. We all have these moments where we're wondering, what the fuck am I doing? Why am I doing this? When are things going to change for me? I've certainly been there, and I know it's likely you have too. So this conversation may trigger the fuck out of you. You may be really confronted by this, because there are no real answers that come out of it. Just a whole lot of questions. And sometimes, as a human being, we want to step in and make it okay for the person, take away their pain, make it better for them. And so we offer them all this really well-intended advice and what worked for us and blah, 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 blah. But what that forgets and what that negates and what that diminishes is that it's okay that she's in this place. It was okay when I was in this place. We don't need to fix it. We just need to allow people to have their journey. We just need to create space and hear them. So I want you to hear this. I want you to see what comes up for you. And that's about it. Let's just dive in. Meet my good mate, Lisa Orkin. Welcome to Carlosophy's Stories Behind Success. I'm Carly Nimmo. It's so easy to fall into comparisonitis as an entrepreneur, and it can be paralyzing. In my own journey, I've come to understand that regardless of your level of success, fame, or fortune, we're all suffering from the same stories of fear, struggle, and failure. So let's talk about it.
I was born in Pennsylvania. I lived there like 3 months. And then my dad was a radio guy, and we moved to Ohio. And then I got really sick in Ohio as a baby. And then I don't remember any of that. And then we moved to Chicago. And my dad became like a minor local celebrity. And I did really poorly in school. I was really, really had a hard time in school. I was very good at social. I was very good at looking out the window. And I was very good at making people laugh. But I sucked. You know, I never did homework, and no one told me that would really make a difference. So, and then I started auditioning for plays in junior high, and I never gotten any plays. But I did lots of professional voiceover with my dad. And then I went to high school, and it was all about boys. It may still be all about boys. I went to drama school in London, and they kept telling me I was funny, and I kept insisting, no, I'm a serious classical actress. That is my deal. And they were like, we don't think so. And I was like, whatever, I'm leaving. So I basically left, and then I came back to the States, and they said to me, you know what, you're very funny. And I'm like, no. So I got married. I became a military wife. I was the only Jewish girl.
I cannot see you as a military wife.
So this is a good story. So I married my high school sweetheart, and he looked like Leif Garrett. Do you know who that is? Or Sean Cassidy. He kind of was like blonde with long 70s hair. I'm older than you, long 70s hair. And he skateboarded and he was tan and he had like the feathered pretty hair. And I met him at a teen disco and I fell madly in love. He just fell in lust and I was easy. So he stuck with me. Me and probably like three other girls, except I was the easiest. So I was the one he always came back to. And then somehow at like 18, 19, he was just a bad kid. He wasn't a bad kid. He was a wild kid. He joined the military because he just didn't know what else to do. And so then I was in drama school and I would see him on the weekends on the military base. And he got sent to Germany. And so we decided to elope in Vegas. And we eloped in Vegas, and when we got there, we realized he had not brought his checkbook, and he only had cash. So we just had enough money to get married and come back to LA, which is like 4 hours, 5 hours. And so that, and then we were married, and I went to Germany as a military wife, and I was the worst military wife in the world. Because everything to me was like, why are you guys doing this? And is this okay? And this doesn't feel comfortable. And, you know, I was that military wife. And none of the other wives liked me. So that's not true. They did. They did. And then I did lots of theater in Germany.
What did you do when you were in Germany? Were you just kind of sitting around baking cookies, waiting for your husband to come home from war?
I did get a big cookbook to try and be domestic. But I joined the German theater, actually. I auditioned. They needed people for musicals. And so I'm a musical comedy person. And so I can sing like an American with a big voice. And so I auditioned for the German theater and I did Evita. I was in Evita. Wasn't Evita, but I played all of the extraneous, plus I had this big voice, played the tango dancer and all the chorus parts in Evita for the German State Theater, which paid me and gave me free insurance because I was a Jew, which is kind of cool. And then I got pregnant and we went to New Jersey military base and he was a drill sergeant. It was just weird. And it was never a good marriage. Can I just say that now? Never a good marriage. Always, always, he was kind of a shitty guy. And I put up with it because I felt like I was lucky to have such a cute guy.
I relate to that. I had one at about the same age. He actually stood me in front of the mirror and said, "You are so lucky to have me. Look at me and look at you."
Yeah, what the fuck, man? Why? Why? There was plenty of cute guys that probably would have loved every part of us, right?
Yeah.
But no, we picked a cute guy who's like, "You're lucky." So,
and I'm going to fuck everyone else.
Yeah.
And you just stay at home.
Wait, was that my husband?
No, that was my, I didn't get married to him, but that was my boyfriend. Every Friday, Saturday night, he would say, "Oh, you know, just get a six pack of beers and I'll come get you and we'll go to this party." And then he would just never show. And I would have drunk the six pack of beers, lying on the couch, watching TV, crying because where was my boyfriend? And he was out picking up girls at parties. And then he rode off my parents' car. He stole my parents' car and rode it off. And
oh,
I still continued to date him.
I don't know what that's about. I literally don't. And we're so young. And it's so interesting because, I had a guy who cheated on me months after I got to Germany, by the way, gave up my acting career, my school to go be with him because that seemed more important at the time. And he cheated fairly quickly. And actually, I just had lunch with his best friend from those days, who I actually ended up cheating with. I think we talked about it. And the reason I think we did was because we both felt so awful in our marriages that we saw each other. And so, you know, that stuff happens in your 20s. So But then I got pregnant, and then I became, and then I was like, nope, this is it. This is the guy, and I'm with him, and I'm pregnant. And I had my daughter at like 22, and then we ended up coming back to LA, and I dove in to try and be an actor, and I really struggled. I really, really struggled. I couldn't get my union cards. I couldn't get agents. Agents would see me because of my dad, and then I wasn't my dad, and they would give me a hard time. My husband left. Oh, this is like really, like, so then my husband, like, you know, he would cheat and then leave me, and then I would try and get us back together. Although it's interesting because whenever he would leave, I would find a make-do boyfriend in between. And because God forbid I should be alone with myself. And so then I started being at like 28. He said to me, you know, you're so funny. You should be a stand-up comic. And I noticed that all the stand-up comics were getting Saturday Night Live. And I was watching all these people I know get on Saturday Night Live. And I thought, I'm going to do comedy. And I took to it really fast. Like it was probably the easiest thing I've ever done, which says a lot because I think a lot of times I feel like if you're not struggling and it's not really hard, it wasn't that it wasn't hard, but I was good at it. So I kept doing it. And so there was light. I could see light. And so I kept doing it. And I quickly got in the Comedy Store. And then I started booking like sitcoms. And then I got divorced and that all fell apart. And I had to make more money. I was a single mom and he wasn't, of course, paying. So I started working for my dad, writing commercials and doing voiceover. And I always, and doing solo shows around LA because at least I could control the time. So I started doing that. And then, you know, eventually we got divorced because he finally left me, like super left me, that he wasn't coming back until I went and saw Etta James one night and felt this wild, abandoned freedom because I was like, I can go on my own and go see a concert and I can see Etta James and I can take myself to dinner. And then weirdly, like the energies in the universe, he was like, I have to come home now. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, no. Like he came home that night, Etta James night, and like 3 a.m, I woke him up and I said, you have to go. And as painful as it was, I got myself through that. So then we got through that. And then I found another shitty man who would never commit to me.
Oh, my God.
But would control everything in my life.
Yeah.
And I was so afraid to be by myself that I let myself be in that relationship. Because, and then we would go on trips. And I'd love when we'd go on trips because it felt like we were together. And then I got breast cancer and he was there. So it made it, he was kind of okay in that part. And then my mom died. And then I got a movie and he just kind of hung around, even though he never committed. And I did this big movie that I wrote and produced with somebody else and I starred in. And these big Hollywood people were producing it, even though I don't think it was about me. I don't know. It was about her getting her first movie and this vehicle being a good vehicle because it got good reviews. She went on to direct Welcome to Me and a bunch of other movies. But in the moment, that was her very first film. And so then as soon as that film started doing really well, I was on a hike and I met a guy in Big Sur. And instead of going and taking this big success, I went and fell in love with this guy in Big Sur, and I would just go up there and have incredible sex and eat really amazing food and live next to the ocean and write commercials. And then I'd come back to Hollywood and I would hop in the studio and make them, voice over them. And then about almost 2 years into that relationship, out of the blue, to me, he broke up with me and it floored me. Worse than my marriage, worse than my mom's death. It was like all those things I didn't deal with came in that breakup. And it annihilated me. And that's when I found B School, because one of his new girlfriends was in it. And I was being a creeper. And but then I started watching these videos, and then I thought, my God, what if I learned how to do marketing, and I took my advertising prowess and I put it behind my comedy, and I did that. And then typical fashion, I like built and rebuilt my website, I don't know, 200 times. until I got something I was sort of happy with. And then but then I learned quickly that I was just really bad at all the systems. And then I started a podcast because I wanted to talk about my relationship with men. And so I just talked to men, and I know tons of comedians. So I would just have comedians in who aren't really the normal man. And I would talk to them about men and feelings and relationships. So the first 25 episodes of my podcast is me talking to groups of men about feelings for me. And so once I got past that, I just felt lost, and I had fallen apart, and I just felt like I didn't know what I was doing. And so I decided to just make a podcast about me being lost and trying to find myself. So I started having like my brothers on and my dad on, and anybody, like manifestors, anybody who could make me feel happy inside, which, you know, of course nobody could do, which is really annoying. So meanwhile, my dad's company was given to me, or I bought it with money that was in the account. It's a long story, but it wasn't a good deal for me. And 3 years later, I have a failed company. Yet last night I went and guest taught at USC as an expert in radio commercials. And everybody was like, wow, you have one of the most successful radio commercial companies ever. And I'm thinking, I couldn't even pay for parking. Like, I had to park on the street, and I hoped to God that I wouldn't get a ticket. And I listened to James Wedmore on the way there, because he was on your podcast the other day. And then I went back and listened to like this episode about, you know, money mindset.
Oh yeah,
and
I the was one that like, the most recent one that he just released with yeah. the girl from the woman who wrote the what was it called? The Seven.
Yeah.
Something or other of abundance. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I only just started listening, so I haven't listened to the whole episode yet.
I listened to that one, and then I listened to another one, episode 114, that he mentions in that one. So then I went as the expert and taught all these kids at this rich university how to write radio commercials and produce them. And then I drove home kind of weird and sad. I don't know what I'm doing. I am trying desperately to get something going online with my comedy. I just interviewed JP Sears, and that was great.
How did you make that happen?
You know, what's so funny is I sent him an email saying, I'm a comedian and I'm coming to spirituality. You started off as a coach in spirituality and came to comedy. And I said, here's all my stuff. And then I didn't really hear anything. So then I sent him another email, and I said, I'm not going to be creepy or anything, but I'm just saying, I think this would be a really good podcast. And his assistant, I think, went and listened to my comedy. And so she set it up. So that was how I did it. It took me two tries. And then I think for him, because I'm a comedian and that's really the direction he's wants to go in, sort of, he was into it.
Yeah. I mean, he's really quite a dry, he's got a very dry, like I've seen him do some stuff when he was out here recently and some interviews with some local business people and stuff. And it was like, wow.
Yeah. You know, and I thought he's always so serious on interviews. And then people don't know how to take him.
I know, because, yeah, and that's the whole thing, right? Because he seems so serious, but then I can't really tell if that's actually him and that's his, like, you know, operating system.
Yeah.
Or if that's, like, if that's him in his persona of the comedian. I don't understand.
I think that's both of him. And what's funny is I understood his humor, so I could play with him like there was no tomorrow. And when he figured out I would play with him, he then played back with me. And we went on crazy tangents of like, how is it to practice being a victim and how good I am at it and how not taking responsibility is my key to success. And, you know, like he went down those spiritual, we made fun of the spiritual crap that we both believe in, him and I, so much, that it was really interesting. So, yeah. So, you know, and it's funny, I edited a podcast today I did with these two women who do like end of life preparation, but also while you're in life to prepare for it, which is actually really freeing. And I was listening to it and I thought, why can't I just do this?
What, like, why is this just what you're doing now?
Yeah. Like, why can't I just do podcasts and online comedy and go speak to people about how hard life can be and how weird it is, and then let's just go dance outside for a half an hour, and then let's dress up like purple people and go freak people out. And like, I don't know. I actually hate dressing up, but like Halloween's coming and I just won't do it. Feel dumb. So, which is odd for an actor. There's a scene in the movie I did, which is called Fully Loaded. And don't look at the reviews because people are really mean. And if you watch it, there's a scene in there where I'm at a party and nobody can remember my name. And I wrote that because that's how I feel. So I constantly go, hi, I'm Lisa Orkin. And people are like, I know who you are. But, or they know, they, I've met you 18 times. Why are you still telling me your name?
Yeah. Because, you know, I do relate to that feeling because I often do that where I'm like, oh, hi, I'm Carly. And they're like, yeah, I know who you are. And it's like, oh, I just thought you might have forgotten who I was because I'm not that memorable or whatever.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like I don't, you're not going to, like, I'm a little, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable not remembering me. So I am as quickly as possible going to remind you who I am and just say thank you. Don't go, I know who you are, because now it's awkward again. Yeah. You ruined it and made it awkward because I tried to make it nice. And yeah, because I'm really uncomfortable and I'm trying to make me comfortable and you just made me uncomfortable trying to make you comfortable.
Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a question for you. Do you ever feel like you made it?
No. Because I can barely pay my bills. So, no. And I know it's like a mindset thing. And, like, think as a millionaire. Think as a person who's made it. Like, on my phone, like, I have, like literally, like, five times a day, it says, Future Lisa. Who is Future Lisa? And I hate those people for telling me that if I could only get a grip on that, then stop trying to do it so hard. Just lay into it. Then don't do any. Just stop.
I know. It's a minefield, right? It's like know where you want to go and be that person and become that person. And at the same time, have no expectations and no attachment to outcome. And at the same, like, it's like, and at the same time, surrender and operate from a place of trust and trust that the universe provides for you. But at the same time, you need to be taking steps to action.
To meet the universe halfway, even though I've gone more than fucking halfway. Yeah. Actually, I've got, like, those relationships from my past, I have gone way past the, like, yeah. And you know what? It's really hard to trust the universe is going to meet me halfway because.
Well, you need evidence to support that, right? Like, and if you don't have that evidence, then it's very hard to trust that it's going to happen. You know, even I have had those experiences, but they've come at breaking points, you know, where I've had no other choice but to go, like, I've got to let go of the wheel here because I'm steering myself into a fucking, you know, off the edge of a cliff. So now you have to meet me halfway. And the universe has, but it hasn't been until I've gotten to that point.
That's not nice. That's not a good friend.
I know. It's really not. Yeah.
No, that is not a good friend who lets you, like, bleed out and almost die. And then
throws you a fucking Band-Aid.
Yeah, that is not – that. If that's the universe's friendship, fuck you. Because that – I don't need that. And then you begin to wonder, how delusional am I? Do you go down that road?
Yeah.
Like, I then wonder to myself, am I just living a pipe dream? And then I see a friend who's, like, horrible in yoga class, like, just never, like, goes to the bathroom four times, never pays attention, never breaks a sweat, never really listens. And he goes, I just got a teaching job for teaching yoga for four nights a week. Really? Really, universe? Really? So you're giving him a teaching job, paying to teach yoga when he can't. Those poor people are going to take it, and you're not meeting me halfway, who has just made her 20th sales funnel?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, but it's so true. It's so true because, you know, I have been there too. I actually have been exploring in this week what happens. Like, so sometimes there are people in this world who do all of the right things, you know. They do all the things that they're supposed to do to have the success, and for some reason it continuously eludes them. So why is that? And I ask it because that has been me.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've had moments where, like, I imagine, same with you. You had the movie.
Yeah.
That's a huge achievement and something really amazing. But it's a moment, you know, or a few moments kind of whacked together. It's not it's like a peak in what is otherwise kind of a flatline. Story.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it hasn't ever sustained. I'm not saying it should be like me being in an indie film on the red carpet in a small film. That shouldn't be the peak.
So what is the peak?
You know, the peak would be that I have a nice townhouse down the street that's paid for. Because I have a really amazing career doing comedy and talking to women and podcasting. And I don't have to make my own sales funnels. And I don't have to do my own MailChimp. And I don't have to figure out how to rearrange the, you know, so if somebody buys my course, then how does the email get into the right email? And then does the right font, like, success would be that I'm like, here you guys, let's all go for coffee today. And me not worrying about money, which, you know, I know is the, you know,
American
they go, well,
dream.
If you were, yeah, if you're right, if you're worrying about money, then the universe is just going to have you worry about money. Well, yeah, okay. I'm trying. I think for
I'm
like
trying
10
not
seconds.
To worry about money, but how?
Yeah,
you know, but yeah but because there is a but, right? Like I mean, I've had those moments. Like last year, at the end of the year, I had gone through with my Radcasters course. I'd gone through a bunch of failed launches. I'd throw money at Facebook ads and money at my team to help me build the funnels and all that kind of jazz. I'm not really a DIY person because I can't sit there and learn technology. I just have no, you know. So anyway, so I was outsourcing that stuff like I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
And throwing everything at it and nothing was working. I was still zero launch. Nobody signed up. And just the roller coaster of shitness that would take me on. I would ring my best mate, Lisa, who I'm doing the Keeping Good Company podcast with, and just be like hyperventilating, you know, levels of sobbing because right. I felt like such a fuck up and a failure. Like everything I turn, and I had this record, everything I touch turns to shit. You know, I'm just mediocre. I'm not destined for greatness.
See, that's my fear.
Yeah. And in that, so I had the few launches and then, you know, my voiceover agency, because, you know, we both work in voiceover. During my agency is, you know, it's been running for 12 years now and it pays the bills. And some of the time, most of the time. But then over the December, January period, which is summer here, corporate just dies because they're not throwing any money at learning, which is the area of voiceover that I work in. And so the money dries up. And so over December, January, there's really maybe some stuff coming through from November, but it's starting to wind down. December is like a ghost town and January is pretty dead. And then things start to pick up in February. So I've got to try and make the cash spread out over what is the most expensive time of the year for us, with Christmas and holidays and, you know, all that kind of jazz. And it's traditionally really, really fucking hard for me. And last year it was worse because I'd thrown all the money that was going to, you know, prop me up or just allow me to pay my car rego and my insurance, maybe not myself, over those months. And so the launches were supposed to be the thing that generated the income through that time, and they were zero and zero and zero and zero and just
and
like
sucking money.
Yeah, and costing me. So
yeah.
So then it's like every time I would go to my bank, I would look at it and I'd be like, fuck, it's at zero again. And it just like the constriction that you feel then.
Yeah, which makes me mad when those people are like, well, it's because you think that. Well, okay, now I'm conscious that I'm thinking that and I shouldn't be thinking that.
I know, but and that becomes helping. Like a flickering fluoro, because then you're like, well, now I'm conscious of the thoughts that I'm having about the money not being there, and I know that it's causing me not to get the money to come to me, so what the fuck am I supposed to do about that?
Yes, so then I start that, I am grateful for my computer, I am grateful I still have an apartment, I am grateful that my legs walked me down the street, I am grateful, and I start doing that, thinking that's what I thought in yoga this morning. I'm like, I'm not doing enough gratefuls.
Yeah.
You know, I did
because then
like
it's about them, then it's turning to gratitude, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. If I do 200 gratefuls today, and you know, it's really easy for Oprah to say, trust the universe, by the way. Yes. It's interesting. My business does that too. In the summer here, and it's radio commercials for anything. It dies. But my business, some reason, call it a bad president that is scaring the shit out of everybody, my business completely stopped. And that was my little, that was my sugar daddy that kept me comfortable, somewhat comfortable. And I have not, actually, I got my first client this week since March.
Whoa.
I literally had to borrow money from my dad. I can't even say I borrowed it from him because I can't imagine I will give it back ever. So I had to ask my 84-year-old father to give his 54-year-old daughter money so that I wouldn't lose my rent-controlled apartment. Humble pie, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and most people would look at me and go, wow, she's so successful. She has that amazing agency. She has the podcast. She, you know, they would just, and she has cute clothes. And it's the all of, it's not, and I have a really wonderful boyfriend who just doesn't feel like being sexual. Like happy dance. Yay, life, man. Yeah, but I am grateful I live in Los Angeles and I have a teacup with tea in it and I'm talking to you, Carly.
The highlight of your life. Something that, okay, so I've got two questions.
Okay.
The first one is, and this is kind of something that I want to explore with you, right? Because you know, you kind of know what you're here to do.
Right.
As do I. And yeah. It took me a long time to figure that fucking out, right? Like a very long time to get clear on the fact that what I want to do is this podcast and write. So I want to speak and you know, I want to speak on stage, I want to speak in podcasts, and I want to write. But that's not a traditional kind of setup for a business.
No.
And so, and same goes for you, right? Like it's, I think sometimes it's like we get, and part of it is, I know what my purpose is, but then how do I make that pay the bills if I'm not selling? And for me, it's like I've done the online course thing. I really fucking hated it. And not that I hated it. I loved the content that I had put together and I loved the people that were doing the course, but I just didn't feel like online courses were for me.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't really feel like that either. I don't. I have two online courses. One is called Be Silly Now. And it's just instead of meditating, it's like 10-minute silly exercises to do by yourself every day. And I don't know what else to teach. I don't want to teach it. I want to do it.
Yeah. So, but are you already doing it?
You know, I'm not doing it for money, but I'm doing, I mean, I'm podcasting. I light Instagram on fire with my comedy, my little mini comedy 1 minute bits. So I guess if I'm making a couple people laugh, and there's a girl in Wales that listens to my podcast all the time, and then my best friend does. And I think, okay, you know, there's more than that. Cause I looked at my dad, and then this JP Sears one, so funny, like half the people who never listen to my podcast, my family, my friends, they all listen to that one. And I wanted to say to them, you know what? They're all that good. It's just because it was JP Sears that you listened. And he was actually funnier than he's ever been on a podcast because he actually had someone funny to talk to versus 90% of the other people he talked to. So I just sound so bitter. Do I sound bitter? I just want everyone to know that I'm smiling. We're looking at each other and we're smiling through this.
Well, this is the thing, right? Like right now you're in the trenches, right?
Yeah.
And we go through these, we all go through these moments where we're led to this place where it's like, I don't know what I'm doing here, you know, like I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not seeing the promised rewards for living out my purpose. You know,
yeah,
I think at one point or another, we all get to this point.
Right. And it's interesting because I have a lot of friends like you do who have actually gone on to have like really amazing success, whether it's in entertainment or online. And I sometimes go, what's the difference between me and them? Because, you know, I actually was watching Amy Schumer the other day and I was like, I'm funnier than her. And my boyfriend's like, I hate to say it, but yeah. And my friends would all go, yeah.
I know. And I get this too. My friends are like, you know, they're like, oh, you know, I'm reading, oh, this is going to sound really weird, but it's like, I'm reading Brené Brown and you're like, my Brené Brown, but better. And it's like, so why does everybody know? And for me, it's like, oh yeah, but she, you know, she's obviously has, you know, she's about the data, however she wants to say.
Yeah.
And all that kind of jazz. So she's got like the stuff behind her, the letters, extra letters to her name and shit like that. And I don't. I just go from my intuition and whatever is kind of lands in my head. And people see us very differently to the way we see ourselves, right? So they're seeing and sometimes not too, because sometimes I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I am fucking smart. And I am really intuitive and I am a really good writer and I'm a really good communicator. Why am I here? and they're there.
Yeah. You know what? This is
it's not even down to the work either, right?
No, it's not down to the work. That's the issue. And it's like, okay, you call it mindset or whatever. Fuck you, because I'm working hard. And I know it's not the value or the amount of work that you put in. But I think the reason I brought up Amy Schumer was because she made something like $47 million last year.
Wow.
And I was like, you know, a million of that my way.
Yeah, you should get her on.
Yeah, more than happy. And like Kathy Griffin, who I went to school with, also probably making an insane amount of money. And I just go, what is the difference? Who can we talk to tell us? I don't think anybody knows.
I've had this conversation with a friend of mine who, I mean, he didn't have Amy Schumer level of success, but an Aussie entrepreneur here called Dan Norris. I think he's like episode 100 or 101. And we had similar levels of success, kind of floating around mediocrity, working our asses off, making very average income, maybe $40,000 a year, which isn't a lot here when you consider, you know, an average house is like $1 million these days. So it's like, and the average wage is $80,000.
Yeah, so you're about the same exact place I am.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So making, you know, making mediocre income, working hard, and just not really seeing the results. And then he started a business called WP Curve, which was or is.
Oh, I know exactly what it is.
Yeah. So he started that.
Actually,
you probably
They're my company.
Yeah, right.
That's who I use.
Yeah, so he started that and grew it to a 7-figure business, and then GoDaddy bought them for an undisclosed amount. And so all of a sudden he went from really struggling for many years running an agency type model, he was a web developer, into running a 7-figure business and then selling it to GoDaddy. And I had asked him, like, what is the difference between you and me? Because I find this really frustrating. You know, I just don't understand why you've had this success and I haven't. And he said, you know what? Like, for him, nothing changed. This company took off at a time where his rest of his life was just falling apart. And nothing in his mindset changed. Nothing. You know, he didn't really do anything differently. He said, all I can put it down to is the fact that I was willing to take risks, which is a certain type of person, which I fall, you know, we both fall into that category. We are risk takers.
Yeah, we're very risky.
So it's not that that we don't have the same business acumen as him, or there's nothing really different around that. We're also risk takers just like him. He was like, sometimes it just is simple as timing and luck.
That would really help for my insurance to get paid this month. You know? Right.
I know, because we want something more tangible than that, right? Like, we want to know how to get ourselves out of this mess and into that place where the money is flowing and all of our problems have gone. But
right, I mean,
but with him, what he realized was all the money problems had kind of gone. They'd changed because cash flow was still an issue, and all the problems that we have, you know, as smaller time entrepreneurs, he's not free of them. And what he realized was, and I've spoken about this a lot lately, is that when he got to that destination, he was still him. You know, he was still the same person. He still had the same doubts and insecurities. He still had the same slightly different struggles. Like, his struggles may have, changed a little, but he didn't. And I think often we think that that person who has that success is doing something different.
Right. And they're not doing anything different. That's the whole thing. Is it a random? And if that's true, I mean, this is the interesting thing about like everything I've been hearing lately, whether it's Oprah or James Wedmore or literally anybody, they're like, you can shape it. It's up to you. And I'm like, for years, whether it was the Course of Miracles 7 years ago I did, or the, you know, whatever the new is, the Spirit Junkie or the Kundalini or the, I don't see how that's really true. I mean, I do understand the part that you shape it. It's because it's how you react to it. It's not how you call it in. It's how you see the opportunities, or you see them.
Yeah, I mean, and I feel like we as humans want the certainty of it being within our control too. I don't know whether it really is or not.
No, and you know what's interesting about all of these things, that whether it's, you know, Gabrielle Bernstein or anybody except Danielle Laporte, who goes, I have not a clue. She's the only one that goes, I don't know if this any of this really works, but I enjoy doing it, but I have not a clue. But I think that it's like people need to have certainty, and I'm not asking for that, I think. I think what I'm asking for is just not to be so stressed.
Yeah,
some relief. Some relief. I don't, you know, that I want to, like, it's gotten so bad that, like, I literally, I'm like, oh, okay, when they pay me next week, I'll go to the grocery store, which is kind of good because my cupboards have never been so clean, you know? So I'm slowly going, you know, my boy, you know, everybody takes me to dinner. Everybody, I can go to my dad's house or my sister. So it's not like I would ever starve, but I don't have my own creature comforts like I would like as much anymore, you know? So I'm like, this is kind of sucking. Really sucking, and I didn't think at 54 I would be here. And yet I want everyone to know, or women to know, or men, I just women, that that, you know what, it's okay. You know what, we may be here at 54, and you know what, you're not a bad person, and you're not dumb, and you're not unlovable.
It and just there's nothing is. Wrong with you.
No.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that's definitely what I learned when I, you know, earlier this year when I had that moment of just walking on the beach, like, I got to get a job because this is bullshit. I've put myself out there. I've been consistent. I've done the things. What the fuck? And and now I'm done, unless, you know, you, and this was the whole thing, the universe did meet me halfway, because for me, I feel like it was because, and like we said before, it's unfair, and it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem like the all-loving, providing universe or God or whatever who would make someone get to that point before they gave them the, you know, before they released the pressure gauge.
Right.
But it seems for me to have been the case, you know, and had I not, but what I realized in that moment was that I was okay, right? And I was provided for, just not in the way that I really wanted to be. So like you know, you might not have a cupboard full of food, but you do have the support of the people around you who love you, who will take you out to dinner. So, you know.
Even my yoga studio is like, you know what, you've been such a good customer. If you need a couple months, that's okay. Just come in anyways. And don't worry about it. Like, literally everyone's like, no, it's okay. We will help you. But I don't want this is my lesson. I don't want the help like that. I don't want my dad to give me money. I don't want my yoga studio to tell me it's okay, you don't have to pay for a couple of months. I don't want to, I want to do it all by myself. You know? Is that my lesson?
Perhaps. Who knows? You. Probably.
Yeah. I don't want to depend on me. I want my own money to spend with how I want to spend it. I went on a job interview. Did I tell you this?
No.
I decided that I should do temp work. That just maybe I should just do clerical work. I'm super good on a computer. I could probably just do clerical work. I could do that. for $12 an hour, which is nothing. And so I went, I made an appointment. I went to the clerical agency. I get there and there is a bad 1978 clock radio playing really cheesy music in this very underly, poorly decorated, somewhat of a waiting room. And then there's a receptionist that's wearing a princess hat because I think it was her birthday. And I went, oh, happy birthday. Is it your birthday or somebody else's? And she was just like, who are you here to see? And I was like, okay, I have an appointment at 3. And she's like, all right, have a seat. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. I went, oh, okay, thank you. Sit down in my seat. I get my phone. I start looking at Instagram. And then the guy comes in who's like 22. And he says to me, yeah, we got your resume. You're really overqualified for any of the stuff we do. We don't do this. We don't do advertising stuff. And we don't copywriters. They barely come through. And I went, it's okay. I just want clerical work. And he goes, do you have your social security card? And I said, no, but I know the number. And I had brought my birth certificate because I knew you were going to ask for two forms of ID. And I have my driver's license. And he goes, we need your social. And I went, okay. It's like fucking being tested, man. And I went, okay, well, I don't have my social, but since I'm here, why don't we have a meeting anyways? And then I can go get it and bring it to you. I'll go to Social Security tomorrow and I'll grab it and then we can move on from there. But since I'm here, let's have a meeting. And he goes, oh, I think we're the ones that decide if there's a meeting. And I went, oh my God, you are such a lovely person and I am so in the wrong place. And he's like, what? I go, I'm not coming back. I'm going to go. It was a pleasure meeting you. Happy birthday to whoever his birthday was because of the balloons. And I left and I went, oh my God. Oh my God. That was so humiliating. And that was the day, by the way, that I interviewed JP Sears that morning. I went to that interview in the afternoon. And I thought, aren't I telling the universe I'm trying by going to that universe, to that interview, to that universe? Because it was a whole nother universe. Yeah. So yeah.
Talk about a high point and a low point. Seriously.
And I was like, oh, for God's sakes, I went to the interview because I'm trying to do the right thing. So I don't have to borrow money. I'm going to work for $12 an hour doing clerical in bad clothing. With a cheesy music and a cubicle, and you're still not meeting me yet. Or did you meet me and I missed it? Did I not show up for the meeting of the meeting?
Oh, dear. So where to from here?
I have no idea. I don't really have any idea. So here's what I'm trying. So I'm doing my podcast today. I edited that podcast. I'm doing a podcast tomorrow with this really wonderful woman from Britain who helps people be happy because I thought that would be good for me. And that's all I got. There's some advertising stuff. And even though I don't really want to do the advertising stuff, but if it came my way, I would definitely do it. Seems like the advertising stuff is a little on the horizon. There may be a little bit of that. You know, I have my Lisa Orkin Creative on my website. So I'm a hell of a brainstormer. Like I literally, if somebody needs to like get ideas for like marketing plans or advertising or creative, even if it's online, it doesn't matter. I can give them like their best strategy pretty darn quickly. Teaching people how to be comfy on camera. You know, I'm good at that too, because I've directed actors so long. So I don't know.
Would you go back to stand-up?
I would love to do stand-up, but here's the problem with stand-up, much like online business. There's no money in LA doing stand-up. And so I've sort of put my feelers out to see if I could at least get booked on the road. But even getting booked on the road is nearly impossible because I'm not a name, not a good enough name to go out and do that. What I'd love, and actually a radio, like a big like internet radio station called me the other day and they said, do you have any ideas you want to pitch to us? And what I would love to do, and my dad thought this was nuts because you could do this from home. Don't go do it this way. I want Airstream to give me a really cool Sprinter van with its own toilet in it and a little kitchen. And I want like a little social media team and a good camera. And I want to go all over the country talking to women, gathering people on my social media along the way. I'll live stream. I'll go, I'm in Omaha and I'm really lonely. Can somebody meet me for dinner? And or I'm going to be performing there, or get your yoga studio ready. And then when I get to wherever, or I go, you know what, I'm so lonely on the road, or my boyfriend's coming and it's this big and, you know, like a tiny little postage stamp. And, you know, like I want to do that. I want to go try to expand my, for lack of a better word, tribe on the road and do like a weekly podcast and interview people, and I can do voiceover on the road and meet people and gather a following like Danielle Laporte did for the Firestarters. But I kind of, this would be like Danielle Laporte meets Louis C.K. But I would use social media along the way to sort of propel it. That's what I would love to do.
Yeah. That's so cool. I had this vision a while back of me in a van with my family traveling around Australia. And, you know, stopping in, yeah, just towns along the way, doing speaking stuff.
Yeah. And yeah.
We just got to make it happen.
We do. We just have to make it happen. And I was talking to, I do have an assistant, and I was talking to my assistant who virtually works for nothing just because we're friends. I was talking to her and I said to her, how do we do this? And how do I make other people pay for this? Like, I need to make somebody else pay for it. I don't want to be worrying about gas and are my bills paid along the way. So I need to put together a proposal, which is something I've never done before, for this internet radio company. And their only thing was it needs to be family friendly. But I can do that.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah. So that's my hope. So, and then, you know, it would be cool if you were doing it in Australia and I was doing it here and we just got such enormous followings that I can go, oh, I'm going to meet up with Carly in Australia and we're going to hang out for a while. And then Carly's going to come over to America and we're going to like caravan around. And then because we're making money and it's good, we can always go, you know what, I'm so sick of this little van. We can go just jump in a hotel for 2 days and spa.
And have a shower.
Yeah.
So cool.
Time to kick up your feet and relax. It's on the couch.
Biggest fear?
That I won't be able to keep my apartment. That's my biggest fear.
Yeah. Biggest struggle right now. Well, I think we've really covered that.
Yeah. Well, all right. You know what? My chin hairs are a bit of a struggle. All right.
Failure. What does failure mean to you?
Failure means not taking care of myself, not being able to pay my way in the world. It also means not being a kind person or being shitty to people is a big failure to me. I think when I've not been nice to somebody or if I feel like I've been not cool, that's a huge failure for me. That's probably bigger than the money thing. It's definitely bigger. It sounds better actually for a podcast to say that, but it's true.
Recurring bitch. What is your go-to favorite record for the voice in your head?
That you're not doing it right. You're not doing it right. You're not pretty enough. You're not doing it right. Your boobs are uneven. You're not, if you were only smarter, I could go do this one forever. Those would be you've not figured it out. Why can't you just be like a normal person?
Which is totally a normal person.
Yeah, right.
No one has it figured out. We just think they do. So what about success? What does success look like to you?
Success means that I can take my sister and my daughter on vacation, that I'm comfortable enough to not have people worry about me, that I'm just dependent on me so that I can have enough money to help other people, that I'm making people laugh in more than just like, you know, right now you and me. And I think that's what it looks like. I think it looks like I am making money enough to give back instead of just suck it because I don't have enough financially.
And freedom.
Freedom looks like me being able to just go do what I want to do and talk to people and feel free not to worry about the everyday, you know, the big pile of mail, but to just go, hey, I'm going to go help out here or I'm going to do this. And I have a group of people that are like-minded that when I see something like online and I go, oh my gosh, this woman brings Kotex and tampons, which I just saw, to homeless, that I could go, hey, I just saw this. Let's do something about that. Let's put that on my website. And so that they can get more money, and let's put together a show and have everybody just pay with Kotex and tampons.
The plug. Instead of filling the podcast with self-promotion, we're being totally transparent. Here's the plug.
So you can find me at honestlylisa.com. And my podcast, you can find over on my website, but you can also go subscribe on iTunes, which is really good. And you can leave a comment too. So you can go subscribe on iTunes. You can find me on YouTube. That's where a lot of the uncut videos are. And then if you join me on Instagram, I do little comedy minutes, like
They're three
funny. Or 4 days a week. Yeah. And so that's like, you don't get those really anywhere else. Sometimes they show up on Facebook, but most of the time not. So so join the Instagram because you get a little special.
And it's all just Honestly Lisa?
Yeah, it's all Honestly Lisa. So if you just Google Honestly Lisa or you go to honestlylisa.com, everything is there.
The takeaway. Exercises or tips for positive change, sprinkled with salt and vinegar, wrapped in newspaper and handed over the counter from our special guest to you.
Here's a really good little thing to help you out. I learned a long time ago that when you wiggle your butt when you brush your teeth, it actually, like wag your tail while you brush your teeth, it actually is really good for your butt, but it's also good for your mind and it's good for your brain. So the idea of brushing your teeth and wagging your tail at the same time is really, really, really good for you. And it just pulls you right into the moment. And you can actually, it's really, really good for your soul. The other thing I would say is, be kind to yourself. Just be kind to yourself. I'm sure most everybody who listens is kind in the world. The one person that we're not really very kind to a lot of the times is ourselves. So stick a little baby picture of yourself on the fridge and remind yourself you're that kid.
I actually have that right behind me.
Yeah.
Over there. I have a sideboard thing that has, you know, my angel cards and some little goddess things, like a little altar, I guess. And at the top of that is a picture of me when I was two, just to remind myself constantly that I am that person. Because I find that if I nurture like the little kid within me, like I can't be nasty to her. So, you know, how could I be nasty to me? We are the same person. She's every bit as precious as I am.
And I would never be mean to her. If she was in front of me, she is in front of me. She's in front of you,
totally.
Right? We are. So that's my takeaway.
Thank you. Thank you for being so honestly, Lisa.
Oh, you're welcome.
You know, because these kind of conversations are the ones that we don't have because we generally want to have all the answers before we share. And I think that it's refreshing to know that we don't have to have all the answers, and things might not be perfect, but and they might, you know, it might not look the way that we want to, but it doesn't stop life from going on. And it doesn't it doesn't define who we are or who we're going to be. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for being so refreshingly honest.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for letting me have a place to talk and you being you, man. That's cool. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thanks for tuning into Carlosophies. If you really dug this app, I'd love for you to share it with someone who you think might also dig it. It really helps me to spread the word. And if you'd like to get to know me a little better and see some in-between ep thoughts and insights and be around some super cool people, join my Facebook tribe, Show Up Speak Up. Search Show Up Speak Up in Facebook or head to carlynimmo.com/tribe. Until next time, be real, be rad. Peace out.